Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Bessie, with mothers and daughters around the world. Around the world, literally around the world. It's amazing. It's called the Internet. We are so far in distance, as it seems sometimes, but yet we are so close. It's unbelievable how close we are. So just want to say good morning to everyone. I really, truly appreciate it. I hope you're having a great day. Getting your Saturday off. You know, a lot of people celebrated yesterday, St. Patrick's Day, and I thought about a young lady that I've known since she was a little girl. Her birthday was yesterday, Kayana, and it was just amazing because I can remember from St. Patrick's Day, you know, a happy birthday to Kayana, a little girl that's close to my heart. Just want to say this morning that we have a lot of things going on. This is a busy week coming up, several different things happening. But before we get too far into what's coming up for the week, let's see if I can get to the switchboard. And get to Cynthia. Let's see if she's on. Hi, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm great. How are you doing?
Well, I probably should have called and say, you know what, I'm listening, but I'm working. We are getting ready for the Butterfly Award, so rehearsal. So I am in motion of pushing bringing all of the clothing over so the girls can rehearse today. It's not until 11, but I am in motion already. Good morning, audience. How are you?
Yeah, I'm busy, busy, busy.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Busy,
the girls
busy,
be there
busy.
By 7 o'clock, and I'm so excited, Dr. Fletcher. And I just thank God. I just thank God that He has given us this power to stay. Like we've been saying, we ain't even got sense enough to walk away. I'm just excited, Dr. Fletcher.
No, so where are we going? You know, you're not going to think. You know, you can't stop. I mean, if you stop, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? If you're in motion with a vision that God has given you, how dare you think you can stop? You don't have that option. But now, if you're doing something that God didn't call you to do, you could easily stop and go on.
Absolutely.
But if it's called and ordained by God, it's going to be on your heart, your spirit, 24 hours a day. It just will not let you rest. Even though you may have some haters, you know, you got some haters who don't believe, don't see, can't see. But, you know, you pray for those people because they're not even on their own vision. Because once you are understanding that you're in your vision and you know you're on your vision, you understand people when they're on theirs. But you cannot understand what you don't know. You don't know. And so when people, you know, do a little hating on us, you know, I say to myself, I pray for them to find their vision. Because once they get their vision and then they'll know. But anytime someone criticizes anything that we do, it's because of the ignorance of not knowing their own vision. And then you have to pray for them that they can get it because they're off track with God. So anyway, I am proud of you. Proud of everybody that's working with you and the ladies that are coming in today. And the Butterfly Award is Friday night. I was going to ask you to do the prayer, but I know you're in the middle of something.
I can definitely do that before I move. I'm just standing still, so I'm learning to just stop and be still when I know that God's calling my attention. So I would love to do the prayer, and then I'm going to listen from there.
Okay, right here.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you, God, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Father God, for the vision. We thank you, Father God, for the obedience. For Father God, we know that obedience is better than sacrifice, and we thank you, God, for Dr. and her obedience and Frida and her obedience for the call that you put on their lives as well as my own life with the Butterfly Awards and Program REAP and Faith Trust Ministry and Bless Beautiful Buttons. Father God, we're working on one accord. It's all about you and what you have us to do. So we just thank you, God. We ask we come together and Dr. Fletcher and Frida travel down this week for the Butterfly Awards. I pray for their protection right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that there will be no incident or accident or anything that will hinder them from the journey of coming to South Florida this week. And so, Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this morning and the radio show this morning. We pray that somebody will be touched or healed this morning, or the process of healing this morning will start to take place as they hear the word of God. But, Father God, we know that this particular show is all about the good news. So, God, we come this morning to bring the good news for mothers and daughters around the world. And, Father God, we thank you, God, that you are a healing Father, that you hear our prayers and that you know, you said the brokenhearted, you are near to the brokenhearted. So we pray for every brokenhearted mother and daughter there is out there listening to us, and we pray that something will be said, that they will move towards each other and God, first of all, in order that they can be healed of all of their woes and disappointments that has taken place between the relationship. We know, God, that you are a healer, and all of these things we pray for Frida. Not sure if she's going to be on today, but we pray for her venues as well. If she's not on, we know that she's busy and doing your work, Father God. So God, we just thank you. And with all of that, we thank you for Angie and her obedience, God, coming alongside of Dr. Fletcher and taking over several responsibilities for the organization. And this we pray in your son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Okay, I can feel that spirit. So while you're on here, why don't you tell them about the Butterfly Award and where you are and how they can email you, and why don't we just get that done right off the front, and that way you don't have to come in on the tail end if you're busy, because it'll get close to what you're doing. Hello? Okay, I think she got dropped there. We'll wait to see if she comes back. But anyway, the Butterfly Award is this Friday night, and I'm going to have her, she'll probably come back on somewhere. She's in the building and the phone dropped, so we'll go on and come back to her later on. Let's see where we are. Okay, she's back on now. Let me see if I can get her. Hello?
Hey, Dr. Fletcher, sorry about that. A call came in, and I was trying to ignore it and hung up on you. I apologize, audience and Dr. Fletcher. So what were you saying, Dr. Fletcher?
I was saying, while you're on, go ahead and tell everybody about the Butterfly Award, the address and everything, and how they can get in contact with you. And what I encourage audience, I know everybody basically knows somebody in Florida, so you're talking about Hollywood. And a lot of times people don't know where Hollywood is. Hollywood is between Miami and Fort Lauderdale, and it's only about a 10-minute ride either way. So if you know someone in the Fort Lauderdale, Pompano, Miami, Miramar, you know, all those areas, they're right there. Hollywood is in the circle of that. So you can tell any of your friends or cousins or sisters or brothers or whomever to come. Go ahead.
Okay. Again, audience, this is the week of the Butterfly Awards. The Butterfly Awards is kept in March because it is Women's Month. It is a program where we come together, or it's an event where we come together and we honor those women that we work with, women coming from corrections, women coming from substance abuse residential treatment. We have five honorees this year. They're from various places. A couple of them probably all of them have been incarcerated at some point or in treatment. And so what we do, we partner with the community and we bridge that gap. We become mentors to those ladies who are leaving these facilities in order with the hope of helping with the recidivism rate. The girls can reach out to us 24 hours a day. We have many mentees that we have worked with over the years that we are still in communication with, and we kind of talk them off the ledge when they feel that they have no hope. Even when they have moving forward, they come to those times where, you know, some days you just don't know if you're going to want to keep going. And so the Butterfly Awards is all about that. It is being held at 900 South Hollybrook Drive at the Hollybrook Golf and Tennis Club here in Pembroke Pines. Dr. Fletcher mentioned Hollywood because those two are interchangeable when you look up the address, Pembroke Pines and Hollywood. And so it is being held here. My email address is programreap. That's programreap at gmail.com. It is a free event. It's a community event. Please, if you live here, please email me a RSVP list, and we will be more than glad to see you here at the event. It's going to be a phenomenal event this year. We added a component this year where we are actually having art exhibit this year. There was five artists that came to the prison to do some artwork with the ladies, and they were so excited, and that artwork will be displayed in this event this year. And so anybody want to call me, you can call me at 954-562-6426. Again, 954-562-6426. My name is Cynthia Oliver. I am Program Director of Program REAP. And if you want to, again, get in contact with me, you can email me at programreap@gmail.com. Thank you, Dr. Fletcher.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm excited. On the road again. So I'll see you. I dare not try to claim that thing. I just caught myself.
That's all right. That's all right, girl. Sometimes it just calls to be excited. And I am so glad that, and I can't wait for you to get here.
Yeah.
And God is going to show up. He's going to do some amazing things. And it's just going to be absolutely fantastic. This is our fifth year. This is God's grace. And his number five is God's grace. And it's just going to be beautiful.
Yes. All right, then. Well, let's go let you do what you're doing today. And I guess we won't get back to you because I know you're going to be busy. Tell everybody I said hello, love you. And we're going to talk
love
a little bit
well.
About a mother's reflection in her daughter. That's going to be our topic for today. All right.
I love it. And I'll be on listening.
Okay. And
all right.
If you click well, you're on now, but I don't know if you want to comment. Just let me know. I guess you can text me or something.
Okay. I'll click back in.
Yeah, click back in if you do. All right, then.
All right, honey.
Take care. I love you. All right.
Bye,
good.
Audience. Have a great day.
All right. Yay. That's Cynthia Oliver, our co-host. She's excited. God is doing wonderful, wonderful things with the program for the week, for this week on the 24th Friday night, the Butterfly Awards. And just to say butterfly just gives you a spirit of taking flight, you know, just butterfly, just butter, you know, because basically everybody loves butter, you know, butter adds that flavor. And fly, you know, and I know that's a different context on it because you're talking about the cocoon and the butterfly, but just think about your senses, you know, you're trying to tune in. It's a good thing. butterfly. You've been through, and now you're able to just kind of wiggle your way out of that tightness, that tunnel that you've been in for so long, and then all of a sudden you have these wings. And, you know, a butterfly, come on, just so beautiful. Beautiful. It's a pity that they don't live a long period of time. You come, you spread your joy, your love, because when you see a butterfly, it just brings joy to your heart. Look at the colors of butterfly, just multicolored. God is so awesome, just so awesome in his designs. It will blow your mind. So I'm excited about that. Cynthia's a young lady that we've been together for 9 years working together and holding each other up during this transition. It is not easy. That's why even when Jesus sent out disciples, he sent them out in twos, because he knew that at one point or the other, they would have to depend on each other. And when you get someone that will stick and stay, not going to judge you, not going to worry about, you know, you can't say this, you can't say that, and then be angry. You can't do that. When you're assigned to each other, it's a love that will override any imperfections, because we all are imperfect. We're not perfect. We may say something, we may do something that irritates a person. But even at that, you know, you have to say, you know, what is my purpose? What did God say to me? And the enemy is going to try to talk you out of it, because he knows that he sent you out by two. And as you go, Jesus started off with one. Then he picked up one person. Then he picked up two more. Then he picked up another until he ended up with 12. Now, Jesus had 12 people with him. Come on. Jesus had 12. We should have 12 times 12. If you think about it, he had 12 people that was with him, and each of them bring to the table something that he needed at one point or the other. They came, he picked them, handpicked them for a reason. So just a few weeks ago, the Holy Spirit was talking about staying where you are placed. Because if the enemy can get you to move out of your place, it's like starting all over again. And then we wonder why the struggle is so long and so hard. It's because we keep moving. You keep moving. Then you got to start all over again. Maybe, okay, you done abort that group of people that you was with. Now you're over here with another group of people. That's how people go church hopping, one here, there, and the other. You know, sometimes you just have to stay and be still. People are not going to do what you think they should do. But just know that if you believe that they're led by God, then you have to trust them. That's your pastor. You have to trust them. You know, pastor don't always say what you want. Sometimes you'll be like, they get, and they're not perfect people, because they're not going to always be right. But whatever it is, you know, if God sent you there, you got to stay, because you're going to learn something. You're going to learn from the imperfections or the errors of the pastor, as well as the corrections and the wisdom of the pastor. You'll learn from every different angle of that person. And then it just helps you to say, okay, well, I don't want to do that, or that doesn't fit with me and my spirit. You know, you don't have to receive everything somebody says and take it on. You know, go to God. How does that fit with what you're asking me to do? It may not be for you, but it may be for someone else, because you're talking about a congregation of people. You're not the only one there. So anytime there's a group and there's things going on, everything is just not for you, you know. But anyway, I don't know where that came from. That just came up and came out. So the Holy Spirit must be talking to us, you know, be still. The round table this morning, let's just say for newcomers that are coming on, we're constantly having people on the internet. We have a group now that's out of South Africa that listened to us on Saturday morning. And the young ladies there, they're reading the book. They're doing Good News, God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters. They're doing a book study on it. And they are going to come on and do a collaboration with us once they get that done. I'm trying to figure out how we can do a little contest, but it's so many girls, you hate to not award them all, so I don't know if we'll do that or not, or how we can do it, but they have with Viola, one of our partners there in South Africa. She has anywhere from 500 to 2,000 girls at any meeting. Could get more than that, and she could get transportation to go pick them up. You know, a lot of them walk for miles just to get to the meetings, just to be with other young girls and to be around a motherly influence. So I'm excited about going over and doing some teaching and hopefully taking some people with me there so that we can go over and look at what they're doing and do some mother and daughter stuff there with them. Here we are, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. On Saturday mornings when you come in, we're at the round table, and there are mothers and daughters around the world, and they are listening to what we're saying. So whatever's on your heart, if you want to share it, somebody will receive it, because there's no accident. You're not on here by default or, you know, some accident. No. When you come on, I do believe that there's someone that's on that could share something that would give you an enlightenment of the revelation that God has already shown you. We are based on Ezekiel 16:44. God said, as is the mother, so is her daughter. And that's amazing. I was on a television show. I want to thank WGGS in Greenville, South Carolina. We were live on Wednesday night. For an hour. I was thinking I was on for 15 minutes or so, and they said, no, you have the whole hour. So there were almost four segments, and we talked a lot, and it based back around as is the mother, you know, and most of the people there were shocked because it was like, we never heard of this. And the guy that was there, Evangelist Walton, he was amazed. He said, I've traveled the world over as a marketplace evangelist, and I've never seen or heard anyone talking the way that you're talking. And he said, God is doing something new with you. And I told him, I said, yeah, that's exactly what God said, that he was doing something new. And when you look at it, it is something new. God is, and we got into the 9 months of conception to birth, and explored that, and it was just amazing how the Holy Spirit came out and spoke and enlightened and gave revelation, wisdom, knowledge, understanding through that message. And I want to thank WGGS for allowing me to come on. And then on Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, the show aired again. So mothers and daughters were calling into the station, and they were asking questions. They were asking me to pray for them, asking me for situations, you know, to address different situations. So it was just absolutely wonderful to be in the setting. I felt like I was on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. That's the stage. That's the way it was set up. And like God said, that's just the beginning of many. So the good news is getting out. God is speaking to mothers and daughters around the world, and the book is just a tidbit of messages from the original book, the Bible, the things that God says to mothers and daughters. Again, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie, and I am here at the roundtable with mothers and daughters around the world. Let's look at a stimulating topic. Today, we're talking about a mother's reflection in her daughter, a mother's reflection in her daughter. So get your pen and paper and your favorite drink and sit back and relax, and let's just, I'm going to throw out my thoughts on it, and if you want to join in, I know you're writing. I'm not on the switchboard now, but I was there, and I know you're there, and just jot down if you want to. Click one, fine, we appreciate it. If not, I know you're listening. I know how it is, because I couldn't even imagine myself calling into a radio show, you know, that. And people have that fear, so I understand it. But I want to tell you a little bit about Good News, God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters. You can go to our website, mdbn.org. That's M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in bonding, N as in network.org. or you can pick us up at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any of the major bookstores. It is published by Lael Agency. It is laelagency.com, laelagency.com. Visit the website and see some of the wonderful things Angela is doing there. Let's see, I think that's about it. Our stimulating topic today is a mother's reflection in her daughter. Now let's look back. For the last couple of weeks, we were talking about mothers and daughters obeying the word of God. When we're talking about obeying the word of God, you know, sometimes we look at the word and says, okay, I can obey it to some degree, or I can manipulate it to some degree, and you know the word, but yet you don't do the word, then that's manipulation. That is definitely playing with God, and that's a dangerous place to be. Now, there's grace and there's mercy for those who don't know, but once you have gotten the revelation, once you've gotten the wisdom and the understanding, and then you gamble with that, then you're playing Russian roulette with your life, because God will not be toyed with. He will not be played with. And he has an understanding that as is a mother, so is her daughter. Now, if you take it from that, and those are his words, he understands that we come into this world with a certain amount of information, intake from our mother. I'm not talking about so much genetics because you get so much from your father. Let's just put that to the side. But we're talking about that 9 months that the mother has that one-on-one influence with the fetus. It's 9 months. So obeying the word brings about a word creating your thoughts, and your thoughts creating your visions, and your visions creating your reality. See? So the way you obey the word has to be consistent with your thoughts. Because if you're obeying the word and you, okay, the word is love. Let's just use that for an example. Love. If you are thinking of love, not sexual love, of love, spiritual love, agape love, Jesus kind of love, where we love each other in spite. And that's why he said, judge ye not one another. Because when we judge each other, then you will judge. Every time you judge me, you're judging yourself. Because we are all one. And that's where a lot of times we miss it, mother. If you talk about me, you're simply talking about yourself. God is not one that will lie. We are all one in the body of Christ. So if we all one in the body of Christ, it's just like my head talking about my toe. How are you going to talk about the toe? You need the toe in order to function. As the body of Christ, we're all in this together. That's why he said, judge ye not. Because what you speak and what you send out, those words will boomerang back to you. You think you're going to send something out on somebody and it's just going to stay out there and float around and go to them and you're going to walk away free? No, there's consequences. There are consequences to what you say. So, mother, when you're saying words and you're doing things in front of your daughter, or you're reacting in a certain way and she's seeing you, as is the mother, so is the daughter, you are responsible. God is holding you responsible. So that's 9 months, a key. And I know sometimes mothers will say to me, well, you know, what do I do now, Dr. Fletcher? She's 12. How do I go back and change? I know I had a rough pregnancy. My husband and I didn't get along, and it was constantly fighting, and we didn't have any money, and things was rough, and I could not I just couldn't get it together. I just didn't know, you know, what to do. How do I change it now? Oh, you can easily change it. You got to go to God. Go to God, get yourself together, renew yourself, and then repent, and then do it no more. As he told the lady, now go and sin no more. Once you've done that, you erase that. God has forgiven you for all of those things that you've been carrying around in your head and acting out of, because if you feel guilty on the inside, it's going to show up on the outside. A long time ago, people used to say, whatever happens in the dark will show up in the light. Well, it's not the dark, like turning the light on and turning the light off darkness. It's the darkness inside of your spirit. That's the darkness. And as you creep around with hidden agendas and dislikes about people, then those things are going to show up. The minute you see that person, that's going to show up in the light. It's going to show up. You can't hide it. When you don't like somebody and you've been running around with these thoughts, it will show up when you see them. What's in the dark will come to the light. Now, a lot of times I tell people, I say, you know, most people, they either like me or they don't like me. But one thing you can say, I will come to you if there's an issue. I'm not going to walk around with things in me. And some people can handle that. I'm not going to walk around and have a hidden dislike about you on a subject. I'm going to ask you about it. Man up, woman up, come on. You know, how chicken can you be? If you got a question, you got a problem, go to the person. Even God tell you that. Go to your brother if you have an aunt. Go to them. Because a lot of times, you know what? Your mind will fool you. That's where the enemy works. He'll come into your mind and pluck in a conversation. He'll make you think something is going on when it's not. And if you're not very careful, you will create an illusion of inclusion into that conversation. And once you get into that conversation, everything that you see beyond that point becomes a reality to you. You believe that. And God says, whatever man says, see and believe, or say and believe in their heart, you receive. So then you've given power to it to birth itself into reality. See, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. My father-in-law coined that phrase, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. How powerful is that? It really is, because that's what we have. We have a soul, we have a body, and we have a spirit. And sometimes people get it twisted. The soul is your mind. And you have to align your mind and soul, which is one, with your spirit, and that spirit with the spirit of God. And the body will follow. See, the body has no control. The body, you know, it follows the mind, it follows the spirit. You connect your spirit and your soul together. Where's the body going? The body's going to go with the spirit and the soul. So, mothers, when you're in position of conception, you have to start quickly, because, see, God has appointed you to do a job for him. He wants you to deliver a human into the earthly realm. No one can do it but you. That's how important you are. As a mother, God chose you, the woman. He could have chosen the man if he wanted to. What better? We wouldn't have known any different if men were having babies and that's the way it was when we came into this earthly realm. That would be the norm. But the norm is he chose the woman, even Mary, to have Jesus to show and prove the point. I've chosen the woman. And he wanted you to know that he did it, because there was no man to plant a seed. He did it. I want you to know that whatever and whenever you're pregnant, I did it. Every time. It is me. But I've chosen you because I need you to help me to fulfill my will. And in order to do that, I need to have you take that seed at conception, that baby, and I need you to teach that baby about me. But a lot of times what we do, we are so connected to the world that when we get pregnant, we're excited for the day. Some people are excited, and of course we know some people are terrified. Some people think it's the end of the world. Some people commit suicide. Say, I can't tell anybody I'm pregnant. Whatever the situation is, it's devastating. Oh my God, what am I going to do? And then they make a choice. But the ones that decide, I'm going to have this baby. I'm going to help God fulfill his dream, his will, his purpose for this earth. I'm going to deliver this, allow him to deliver this baby into the earthly realm for his good. Because all of us are here for one purpose, and that is to fulfill the purpose of God. He gets pleasure from each of us. It's just how much pleasure we're going to allow him to have through us. He gives us the will. We can decide. Are we going to let him use us for his good will, or are we going to put him on the sideline while we go do our thing? And he'll let you do that too. And then one day, Mother, you have to come back and say, you know what, Father God, please forgive me. I repent. Oh, God, I didn't know any better. And he'll love you. And he'll say, okay, let's move from here. He's not going to judge you. He's not going to hold you accountable. You know, sometimes there are consequences. Sometimes there's grace and mercy. You know, you never know. But when you make the decision, you have to expect consequences. But yet, sometimes God will be so gracious and mercy, and he'll help you not experience it as severely as it could have, or even in some cases help you to eliminate those consequences. But see, you don't want to take that gamble because you're out of order. So when we're talking about the reflection of a mother and daughter, I'm saying all of this so you can get an idea that the reflection don't start when the daughter is 10, 12, 15, 16. You know, that's mimicking. The reflection starts at conception. That's when it starts. And like I say, for the last 2 weeks, we talked about obeying the word of God. And that's certainly fit into the type of reflection a mother sees in her daughter. If a daughter is born to a mother that is spiritually connected, has this relationship with God, understanding to go to God from the moment she realizes she's pregnant, okay, God, you've chosen me to have this baby. What do you want me to do? Getting the instruction, talking to God, communicating with the baby. See, you can't not communicate with the baby. You have to, because the baby is communicating with you regardless of what you say or do. There is a connection and there is a communication. It's just what type of communication you decide to have with the baby. And I call it a baby because from the moment of conception, it is a baby. A daughter is conceived and becomes a solid partner within the mother. She is undercover. Now you think about it, undercover. In most cases, mothers will forget in the early stages that they're even pregnant. You know, some days you don't realize it because everything is going smooth. You realize today I'm pregnant, and then you're happy for a couple of days, and then all of a sudden nothing is happening. You don't feel any different, and you really, a couple of days, you'll go back into your old mode of thinking, and you'll forget about being pregnant. But then all of a sudden something happens. The baby moves. Hello, I'm here. And you say, oh, my God, a baby is alive in my stomach. Or you wake up one morning and you're throwing up all over the place and you're sick as a dog and you just don't know what to do. And you go, oh, God, I'm pregnant. Something will bring your attention back to you have a responsibility. What are you doing? Wake up. Hello. Don't forget about me. Come to me. I need to teach you about this human that I put inside of you. It's like going to buy a computer, some instrument that you just can't put it together and assume it's going to work, or you just can't plug it in and assume everything is going to work. Some things you have to program. And when you have to program That means you have to put in data. You have to connect certain pieces together, and you have to know exactly where every plug goes, because if you miss a connection, it's not going to work properly. Think about it, Mother. It will not work properly if you miss a connection. So if you're pregnant and you're carrying around this baby and you're not connected into the Word of God and you're not seeking God, what, who and what, you know, you want to run. Most now the day is everybody want to run in and get a sonogram. What am I having? They want to know if it's a boy or girl, as if, you know, okay, this is going to make all the difference in the world. It doesn't matter. What matters is that God has chosen you to bring a human into the world to fulfill his will. That's the purpose. Whether it's a boy or girl, you need to know, how do I plug in? God, what is it that you want me to do? You give me this baby. What do you want me to do? And teach that baby from day one who she is or he and their purpose. Now, you know, I'm amazed at when I'm looking at Steve Harvey, and Steve is talking to those little kids on Little Big Shot. And I'm telling you, the geniusness of the minds and the ability of some of those kids that are 3 years old, you say, wow, look at God. Like a little girl, 3 years old, she could name every bone in the body, what the functions are, the history behind it. I'm thinking, 3 years old? Christine said to her, asked her, he said, who taught you this? And she said, my mother. Now, the mother's teaching her at conception. See, the mind is so powerful in the spiritual realm. Can you imagine, and I've seen and heard mothers say, you know, I will play information, lay down and just allow the dictionary to go off. You know, everything is auto now. You can just, okay, put the dictionary on auto mode. You lay back and you get into a meditative state, and you're meditating, the baby's there, and you're playing and what? Filtering information, the Bible. Filtering information, the Word of God, auto, you know, just spending the time. That mind is so powerful within you because it's in the spiritual state. It is in the purest. The body is not the person. The person is the spirit. So in that spirit is so in tune that when that baby comes out of you, then that baby is going to mimic all those things that they have heard during the time they were in that meditative state. What a powerful place to be. Even as a grown person, when we're in a meditative state, we can hear God, we can get insights, we get wisdom, we get understanding, revelation pop up. You come out, you're like, wow, I've been in an encounter with God. You know things that even if you try to tell somebody, they would not understand because you were in the spiritual realm and that was information just for you. So now you're feeling like, wow, me and God got a good thing going on. Because when I was young, I used to think that I was God's special child. Because, see, God and I have been talking since I was five, and he would tell me things. And we just have these conversations, and I wouldn't tell a lot of people. I'd tell my mother, but I wouldn't tell a lot of people because I knew that that was going to be looked at as being different. And I would tell my mother, and I'd say, you know, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. And mother would, at first, she'd say, oh, okay. And then when it happened, she started paying attention. And that has been the course of my life. Most people don't even know me. I don't tell people a lot about me because that's not necessary. But God will show me things. But, you know, I got so to the point where I didn't want to reveal those things. And God said, if you're ashamed of me on earth, then I'll be ashamed of you in heaven. I'm not going to remember you. I won't know you when you get there. And see, we don't realize when we have these gifts and talents and we put them under the rock. That's being ashamed of what God has given us. And you wonder why things are not working. So I made a promise to God. Take my talent out of the rock there. And people who know that come to the Mother and Daughter Workshop, I don't have to tell you. When you come to a conference and you see the Holy Spirit work, you know my talent is not under the rock. The Holy Spirit shows up. Lives have changed. I mean, we cried breakthroughs. There's so much going on in that room. I've never seen anything like it. I'm telling you. And everybody that comes, they'll say the same thing. I've never seen anything like it. The Holy Spirit shows up. And that's why now I have to do more of that. I can no longer sit on the sideline. Because even God said to me, if you're ashamed of me, like with the book, I was trying not to put it on Facebook, and I was trying to do all this, and then the enemy was trying to say, oh, people are going to talk about you, this. And I got caught up, and the Spirit said, if you shame on me, on earth, I won't recognize you when you come. And see, all of what you're doing, all the good you think you're doing, don't mean a hill of beans if you're not doing what God asked you to do. He said, yeah, you did good works. You raised the dead. You put your hands on the sick. You did all of that. But get away from me. I don't know you. It's that intimate relationship. It's that meditation. It's that Holy Spirit. It's the groaning of the Spirit that you know, that you know that you have a relationship with God. And see, I knew better, but then I strayed. Because I started doing a lot of what Bessie wanted to do, a lot of commercial things. God said, oh, yeah, networking, yeah, that's good. You can have the galas. You can have the cruises. You can have this, that, and the other. Okay, that's fluff. But I called you to minister to mothers and daughters. That's a whole different ball game. And then he asked us to do the mother and daughter faith trust, the crusade. And he said, when you come on the other side of this, you will no longer be Mother and Daughter Bond and Network, social programming. You're going to be a ministry. And that's when we turn into Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. And then I had to learn a whole new way of communicating and doing the work that God has asked me to do. And the book is a part of that. So we're on a whole new journey of marketplace outreach, go out into the community and let them know the good news. The book is, let them know that I love them and I did not leave them out. And I'm telling you, just as he just told me about Ezekiel 16:44, as is the mother, so is the daughter. The things that he told me that he wanted in the book was just as astonishing. I'm like, God, I didn't even know you had that in there. You said that? You see, now my daughter looking at me totally different. When she went with me on Wednesday night, we are around each other, but do we know each other? She and I are very close, but she saw a different side. And she says, oh, my God, Mama. And my daughter's been in television and media for 24 years. So it's not like she doesn't know. And I felt like I had a director on the side. She was pointing and moving. I couldn't see for the lights in my face. But what she was saying was good. She was doing a thumbs up. You're doing good. And she's not one that gives out compliments that she loves you. But she's very quiet on certain things. And when she said something like that, I was like, okay, I'm on track. I'm good. Because she came, and I had to say to her, what are you saying? And so as the music was playing, she came over, she said, I was just telling you, you're doing so great. Now, don't you know what that did for me? Because that was a reflection. My spirit lift, my head went up, and I was thinking, wow. Because I knew, and I value her. She values my opinion. I value her opinion. And when she tells me it's not right, and she's quick to tell me it ain't right, and oh, don't think she's bluffing. No, she will tell me in a minute, and I value it, but sometimes it does kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. But when I look back at it, she's right because she's in the media. She knows. You have to respect her. She's a grown lady, and she wants me to be the best. But the best is not always the best compliment that she gives me. But when I do it and I realize and it comes out good, I'm like, okay, you were right. So now I've learned to just trust her. She published the book. She tells me, this is what you do in media. I'm doing it. So that was a reflection. What are we giving out to our daughters? What are our daughters doing that we can look back and say to ourselves, you know, I see myself. We see things in our daughters that we know they got it from us, good and bad. How do we change it? How do we change it? She and I were talking. We were on a trip yesterday, and went home and looking around at the house and one thing to the other, and it brought back memories about my mother and my father and, you know, her grandparents, and she's like the other daughter. I'm an only child, and she's an only child. And we were looking at the place and seeing things and, of course, remembering mother and daddy, and we were talking about mother. And there's so many things that I see that as a reflection of my mother. And I look at her, and I'm looking at her as she's driving, as she's talking, as we're, you know, just going along, having a beautiful day. The sun's out, the top's back, and we are in a mother and daughter road trip. And I could see me, and I could see my mother. I could see the reflection. All the reflections of me and her are not the best reflections. Not even with my mother. They're not the best reflection, because my mother was given power of authority by her brothers and sisters. She was the baby. I always tell them she was the matriarch of the family. And it was a controlling factor. And that's something that I've been working on, and I thank God that I am so much better than I was. I thank God, because those are reflections from my mother. We get them, and we wonder why we are struggling. Look at your mother. That's why when I'm in sessions with mothers and daughters, I can see that the daughter disliked the mother because they see that they're doing things that they said as a child, I will never do that. I will never do that to my children. I will never be like her in that area. There's always good in every mother and daughter relationship, but there's always something that the daughter is saying, I will never do with my children. Yet we find ourselves doing the very same thing. And then we hate, and I hate to use the words hate. I don't want to say hate. We dislike ourselves because we find that we're doing it and we went against the word that we promised to ourselves, but yet it was something that you couldn't stop. So Angie and I talk about these things. You know, like, we have to let our husbands be the husband. Don't always think that you have to control. And I would tell her, you know, this is where I made mistakes in my marriage. It's got to be like I know everything. Well, that's not true. In order for you to have a good marriage, you got to allow your husband to be the husband. You know, we can't go around and do the same things that we've seen the reflections of, which, you know, my parents were married for 49 years until my mother died. But, you know, certain things we say we need to change. But then you have to come to realization. Look at the reflection objectively and see. If you see something that your daughter's doing and you feel it in your spirit, and you know it was something that you've done, something that you didn't like, and somehow or another, you know, as it's the mother, so it's the daughter, it creeped up on your daughter, then you might want to stop and say, you know what? I'm seeing something in you that I endured for many years. Let's talk about it. It's okay. It's okay. If you go to Jesus and say, you know what, please forgive me, I repent, and you know some of the wrong that you've done, why can't you do it with your daughter? Jesus lived in her too. The same Jesus in you is the same Jesus in her. It just may be on a different level of awareness, but why can't you go to your daughter, and why can't you say, I see some reflection, and I know you got them from me. See, just that alone will bring about an awareness. When I see a mother admit to a daughter, when the daughter asks her a question, and she just breaks down and says, okay, this is the answer. If you could see the relief in that daughter's face, and even in the mother's face, through all the tears, through all the crying, if you could just see the pressure lifted off of them. Because then the daughter's saying, I just need to have that answer. Because inside, 9 times out of 10, she has the answer to some degree. But you want to make sure that you know that you know that you know. You don't want to hear what Aunt Mary said. You don't want to hear what Uncle John said. You want your mother to tell you, because every child will believe their mother. And mother, that's how much power you have. You can inject that reflection of honesty, that if you ask me, I'm going to tell you the truth. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to do. But you have to make up your mind and say, you know what? God gave me this child. I have a responsibility. And I'm going to have to answer for the wrong that I've done to cause this child to stumble on their journey. Because, mother, you have the power to say one word. If you say one word that pierced the heart of a child, it could take them off of their journey because they believe in their mother. They believe you. They believe you. You were there when no one else was there. You were there during the 9 months. You have a bond. And whatever you say, they believe. So if you say the right words, you will inject the right effects on the child. But you can say one word, you're no good. And I tell mother, stop saying that you're just like your old daddy, because you have a problem with the father. I don't know why you have a problem with the father. You went to bed with the father. You had the child. You know, now all of a sudden he's no good. Keep that to yourself. Has nothing to do with the child. A mother should never talk about a father to their children. And a father should never talk about a mother to their children. They should always hear the very best. The very best. Because whatever happened between you and your husband, your boyfriend, whoever the father is, whomever the mother is, they got the thing going, baby mother drama. How do you think a young lady feels when she hear a father say, you just like your mama, that old drama? Come on. We have a responsibility. What reflection are you reflecting into the memory bank of your children? And this is what God's placed on my heart today. We have to look at who we are and what the child sees. And I tell them all the time, that's 86,400 seconds in a day. 86,400 seconds in a day. And each second that a child is with you, say if you have a 3-year-old for 24 hours, and you all are in the same room, and she's looking at you, and you're looking at her, you're moving around, doing what you do on the phone, you're telling people one thing and doing another, and then you call another one, and you tell them what you just told that one, and you change the story around, and the little girl looking at you, and you talk about Miss Jones, but yet she know you go to church and you tell Miss Jones how beautiful she is. She's getting conflicting stories. And then she says to herself, Mommy lies. Mommy will lie. But then when she gets 12 or 13 and she decides to exercise those rights, tell you one thing and tell somebody else something else, then you want to kill her. You know, you said, how dare you lie to me? I didn't raise you to lie. Yes, you did. But she can't tell you that because she's 12. But in her mind, she said, yes, she did. You used to lie all the time. See, the mind is always recording. The subconscious mind keeps everything. So you have to be very careful with what you do because the subconscious mind will record it. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show for the day. Always, the key word this week is reflection. Not only reflection for your daughter or your son, but reflection for your spouse, reflection for your co-workers, your mother-in-law, your sister-in-law, your sisters, your friends. What reflection are you reflecting onto them? Have a great week. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.